This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is our third podcast, which is on May the 8th of 2009. So far, we've been talking about the motivations in how to do the smallmouth fishing. We've covered the tackle that we use. This week, we're going to talk about the food that the smallmouth find naturally in the stream. Next week, I'm especially excited about one we have on reading the water. But today we're going to go through the food that's available. I sort of had an inside scoop on this thing growing up on the North Fork of the Shenandoah River. As a kid, 8, 9 years old, I used to seine the live bait and sometimes sell it, sometimes use it for myself as bait. And, of course, then by the time I got out of college, I was tying flies to imitate these various foods that I'd been seeing in the river and using as live bait. What we're going to start with today are the minnows. Now, there are two minnows that I class in the category of bottom huggers. The one is a sculpin minnow, and they are very prevalent throughout almost all smallmouth drainage. You'll find these in the riffles. Heavy water, well-aerated water, cobblestone rocks, they're not schooling minnows. But when we used to seine these, if we picked up the seine and had one in there, we'd usually have a half a dozen or more. So you'll find these in and below the heavy riffles. Two patterns we use a lot in there to match that is Ed Shank sculpin and the Murray Mad Tom sculpin. Now, the second bottom-hugging minnow that we find in smallmouth rivers is going to be the Mad Tom. This is that little thing that looks like a baby catfish. And these will be in the riffles to a certain extent, but they'll also be in a little bit slower water. These will be in the tail of the pool. When I was a kid, we used to seine them. We'd go out at night. One boy would get hold of one side of the seine, the other boy would get the other side, and we'd go into the tails of the pool over these cobblestone bottoms. And in just no time flat, you'd have dozens of Mad Toms. The Murray Mad Tom is probably what we use in there predominantly, but the sculpin and the Mad Tom are bottom huggers. Now, shiner minnows are those little silvery things that look like baby tarpon. These are present in almost all smallmouth drainages in large numbers. In the spring, we'll say April, May, June, you'll find most of these over the gravel bar. I'm talking about water ranging from 6 inches deep to knee deep. They live on those, and these are schooling minnows. When I do my schools, I'll take the students over, I'll say, see, there they are, and look a little bit closer, and all of a sudden you'll see hundreds and hundreds of shiner minnows on these gravel bars. Now, once the grass beds form in the middle of the summer, about half of those shiners will leave the gravel bars and go into the grass beds. We use Waterman Silver Outcast to match these. That's an excellent pattern if you don't have to get good depth, but where you want to get good depth, then we go to the Murray Shiner. The creek chub is prevalent in a lot of smallmouth drainage. Now, this is not the horn chub. We have that one, too. But the creek chub is an entirely different minnow. These are in the open water. They'll be where there's a fairly strong current. They will be below the riffles. These will not be on the gravel bars, and they will not be in the grass beds, and they will not be in the mud flats, but almost any place else in the river where you have a substantial current, you're going to find chub minnows. Ed Shank's White Streamer is a great match for this. If you want a little bit heavier fly, go to the Murray Chub. But chubs are excellent bait. The dace minnows, not quite as many of these throughout the river as there are the chubs, but they overlap quite a bit with the area that you would find the chub minnows. The Murray dace is good for this. The Ollie shrimp is good for that. Now, in the spring, when the tadpoles are first coming out, these are going to be in the backwater. That's that babe that will eventually be the frog. The bass will often move back into the slower areas, the back areas, to feed on the tadpoles and the Murray tadpoles, what we use on that. It's not a legal bait, but in the old time days when I used to run around with these bait fishermen around here, a lot of them would use the real little sunfish as bait. They'd hook it through the back and away you go. Well, don't you think smallmouth bass don't feed on the natural sunfish? They'll grab them anytime they can get them. Now, I use the James Wood bucktail for that. This is that old Pete Parenchief bonefish fly that I stole from Pete and put it here on the Shenandoah River. I didn't have a time to go bonefishing that year, so I started using them here on the Shenandoah River, and it caught fish like crazy. And the other one we use is that Murray sunfish. But you're going to find most of these young fish in water from knee-deep to hip-deep along the sides of the bank. and just fish it just like a regular standard streamer, just the down and across technique. The baby bass, don't you think big bass don't eat little bass? They will be found from, middle of May all the way through into the middle of the summer. They'll be in the slower protected areas, and the way you tell when you're looking at a baby bass back in there versus a minnow, the little bass has that 2 or 3 inch bass, it got a little black stripe right straight up the back of his tail. And when you're seeing that, you're seeing a bass fry. In fact, that's the fly that we use to match these, the Murray bass fry. Crayfish, great numbers of crayfish, and there's many excellent patterns. I like Barney Singer's pattern in this. I like several that Bob Clouser does. Those are excellent crayfish patterns. I find most of the bass feeding on the real natural crayfish in low light levels. One evening I was sitting on the side of the bank waiting for my son to come down and get out of the river with me. Had my feet stuck down in the river around boulders, basketball size. There were crayfish all over the place, just dashing back and forth and back and forth. And that's where you'd want to fish your crayfish pattern. Leeches, those crazy things that'll stick on you if you're not careful. The fur leech is good to use that. Now, they are most active in a low light level, early in the morning, late in the evening, overcast water. Those were found throughout the stream. Now, the helgramite is probably more widely distributed than any nymphs we have in our smallmouth stream. For one thing, it's a three-year cycle. That picture you're seeing on there at this time, now that's the adult Dobson fly. That's what the helgramite looks like when he molts, pops wings, and turns into the Dobson fly. But it's a three-year cycle, so they're always in the stream. And if I had one and only one smallmouth fly to fish with the rest of my life, it would be the Murray's heavy helgramite in black and probably a size 4 and 6. The naturals are in the riffles, cobblestone size rocks, well aerated water, but they will carry on down into the main part of the pool, and then again they'll be in the tails of the pool. Wherever you've got that cobblestone bottom, you're going to find helgramites. You can fish them down and across like a streamer, because if you drop a real helgramite in the water, he's going to swim just as actively as a minnow can. In fact, that's the way I came up with the Murray's helgramite. I wasn't satisfied with the patterns we had, and I gathered up a bunch and dropped them in the river. Well, they didn't drop dead to the bottom. They would swim downstream in an undulating way, and that's what we're trying to duplicate with that pattern. So you can fish the helgramite pattern upstream, downstream. There's no wrong way to do it. Now, we do have some mayflies that are worth paying attention to in the smallmouth world. The one we sort of group into the term brown drake is found in the spring, May into mid-June, in the area I'm talking about here in Virginia. So you can kind of extrapolate this to your area. But there are actually three different flies that fall into that brown drake category. In my country, they'll hatch out in May and June. They'll be in the heavy water. You can use probably the March brown is a good pattern to match that in about a size 12. Irresistible in about a size 12. Those are excellent patterns. Now, we get a hexagenia along about the latter part of the summer. Now, that can be a great fly, but you definitely want to stay on the river until dark. The one I use to match a hexagenia is the Mr. Rapidan Skater. But you stay there till dark. We'll have those in August and September. And, of course, then some streams get a good white fly. That's the White Miller type thing, the Efferon. If you have a stream that has that, they're on in July and August, depends on the part of the stream you're in. And again, with the White Miller hatch, you want to be there until dark, and in the White Miller case, a little bit past dark. But those are excellent mayfly hatches. Caddis flies are important in my area. Late April into about the middle of May, especially in the evening, we get some tan caddis, we get some olive caddis, bebopping around over the riffles, right where the riffles dump into the main part of the pool. Go in there with an elk hair caddis in about a size 12 and just twitch it around. If you see rising fish, go one-on-one with them. If you don't, just twitch it across the current real slowly. But you'll see huge numbers of these. One time when I was first starting to fish caddis, I was in the stream, and I knew there were some there because I'd caught a lot of fish on the elk hair caddis. And the Murray's Delta Wing caddis is also a good pattern. But anyway, when I got back out of the stream that evening, I noticed this gelatinous mass on the front of my waders where I'd been facing into the current, and I thought it was some type of contaminant, and come to find out these were the eggs that those caddisflies had been dropping into the stream, and they were there by the thousands. So naturally I got back in the river and washed them all off so they could do their thing. Now, the dragonflies and the damselflies, this is probably the most underrated pattern we have. The nymphs of the dragonfly is going to be in the slower water on the bottom of the stream. They're built about as graceful as your thumb. It's a mean-looking thing. If you see them, you wondered if you really wanted to pick them up. Now, the nymphs of the damselfly, on the other hand, is a very delicate, fragile insect. They live around the grass beds. In fact, the hatch, they crawl up the grass and fly away. Now, you can certainly use nymphs on these. However, this is where we get into that skating game I talk about. I use the Mr. Rapidan skater and the olive skater and the blue skater and dance those all over the stream. I've found by watching the bass feed that they are actually coming up and grabbing or trying to grab these dragonflies and adult dragonflies and the adult damselflies as they're skating across the water. And as I watch and see a bass airborne, I'll look back quickly to see if that dragonfly got away from him. They don't catch me, the dragonflies, but it looks to me like they catch maybe about a third or a fourth of the damselflies. And that's where we fish that skater. Grasshoppers, crickets, later part of the summer when they get some size to them, they are very much worthwhile. Fish them along the banks where the bass would feed on the naturals. And then the mullets. From the middle of the summer all the way into fall, in the back eddies, you'll often see a ghostly white mullet-backer flopping around. Just go in there with a mullet pattern, and you can take a lot of those bass. The frogs and the mice that we hear so much about in largemouth are equally effective on smallmouth. You'd want to fish these along the banks, along log jams. I like the deer hair patterns best of all. We've got a couple patterns there. Dave Whitlock's got a couple real good patterns. But those are very effective. Now, this pretty much covers the food that I want to talk about. Next week, we'll get into that thing of reading the river, and I'll show you where you want to fish it and how you want to fish it. If you have any questions on this, just ring me back at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, and that's 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.